This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow!
Available on the Lousy Weather Media Network.
Welcome to Let the Heat Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, we have quite the hateful boy on. He is the co-host of the Ad Hominem Attack Show, which happens the third Saturday of every month at 78th Street Studios here in Cleveland, Ohio, in the basement, not your parents' basement, the basement of 78th Street Studios. Mr. Kyle Honhorst.
What's going on, guys?
Kyle Hatehorst.
Hatehorst.
Yeah. So, Kyle, why do you hate PC culture and comedy?
Because comedy shouldn't be policed. Boom. Done.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't get what the big deal is. Like, there's comics now, like, attacking each other for, like, oh, you did this joke or you do that. And it's just like, we're all fucking clowns, man. Like, why are we taking this so fucking serious? Like, you should want people to see it. And it's just like that whole PC culture that's just going on in our society is like just seeped into the community now. And it's just like,
I mean,
dividing it. And I mean, to an extent, like, there's sometimes like, hey, maybe you shouldn't say that. But it's not because it's a dark topic. It's because it's fucking, your joke's not good. You know what I mean? Like, can we just regulate people with funny and unfunny versus like, oh, you shouldn't do that topic versus that topic. And it's just, it's getting to the point where like people are getting death threats, and it's just ridiculous when at the end of the day, people are trying to be entertainers.
Yeah.
And that's what we are. We're not politicians. We're not teachers. I mean, some of us are in our day job, but you know what I mean? So I just, it's kind of getting out of hand to the point where it's like, at what point do we stop letting people do dark stuff, or is it just going to revolt and go back to just straight like, ugh,
well,
hack,
I mean,
death, rape?
That's always been one of my biggest problems. Like when I was doing comedy regularly, it's just like, you know, when I used to tell my abortion joke, that was actually like a true story. And like, you know, I would have, you know, certain people, you know, come up because it, you know, it always got a response. You know, and whether good or bad, which I took either way as okay, good. But I had people come up to me, oh, you shouldn't tell that because, you know, what if somebody had an abortion? I'm like, but I wasn't talking about them. I was talking about my specific situation that I was making fun of. So you can fuck right off.
Yeah, yeah. It's just comedy is just your perspective on a subject or a thing.
You're trying to make light of something that is horrible. Well, not all of us. I mean, some, you know, some people just make stupid jokes, you know, like whatever. But like somebody who's trying to make a point with something is like, we're trying to actually take away from the pain of that certain subject. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that is what I think is lost in comedy right now.
Well, it's there, but there's people telling, hey, boycott that guy or boycott this club or this, that, or the other because, you know, they have artists that are doing that. And it's just like, let these people eat. If you don't like it, don't go see it. Don't interact with it. Don't be involved.
Like Kevin Smith says, vote with your wallet.
Yeah.
Vote with your wallet.
Yeah, if you don't want to be there. Yes, don't go. Exactly. There's just been, it's just every time, like, I'll get on Twitter or, like, look in the news about comedy, it's just, like, one thing after another. And it's just like, give it a rest. Give it a rest. Like, there's kids locked in fucking cages, and you're mad because Louis C.K. did a pop-up show in New York? That made Newsweek. That, I mean, that a whole article in New York.
Fuck him.
Well, what? You don't think he should be allowed to work?
I mean, it's like the Bill Cosby thing. Like,
well,
after
is
so
it,
many
though?
Fucking, yeah, absolutely. When so many fucking people, there are sides of it that I do understand. When so many people came fucking forward saying the same shit about him being a fucking creep. No, yeah, you know, you have the right to work. People also have the right to fucking say something about it. This
is
America.
That's the thing, though, man. I mean, there's a whole group of people that are like, we don't fucking care. So.
And there's people that want it, you know, me being one of them. I mean, what he did was creepy and wrong, but he didn't. He basically was like, can I jack off in front of you? And they'd say, yeah, because they felt pressured. And that's fucked up. But if they said no. Yeah, but he's the most powerful man in comedy where he's writing and producing and doing shows constantly. He doesn't have a social life outside of that. So everybody he meets, he's above on a pedestal. And he has this weird fucking fetish to jack off in front of people. And, you know, if
then
people...
pay a fucking hooker.
Well, that's illegal.
I have been saying this for weeks since the ICE thing. Legality and morality are not fucking synonymous.
Well, but to some people it is.
But if you're a normal thinking person, it is not.
Oh, fair. I mean, there's things that I do that are illegal all the time. So, I mean, I get what you're coming at. Yeah. But, you know, there's a couple people that were like, I said no. And he said, okay. And then it moved on. And that's different than forcefully having sex on somebody. I mean, to an extent. Like,
to an extent.
To when you compared him to Bill Cosby.
Yeah, right. I mean, what Cosby did was obviously way worse. But at the same time, it's still, you should not use your, I don't want to say political advantage. What's the word I'm looking for? Your stature, I guess, maybe?
Yeah, your clout.
In the community to think that it's okay to be like, oh, well, I'm this guy, so they'll probably want to watch me jerk off, and if they don't, well, then they're going to get fucking doxed.
I mean, it's
pretty
fucking arrogant, frankly, but
yeah.
But I think it's a weird fetish the guy has, is I think,
then
to an extent.
Pay a hooker.
Fair. But he didn't, and it happened. And
it's not like he doesn't have the money to pay a hooker.
No,
either.
He's got plenty of hooker money. He could have been on the Epstein plane if he wanted to. You know what I mean? But
fucking look at Artie Lang. You look at how much heroin and hookers he's bought, okay?
Oh, yes. And you can't get Artie to show up.
Yeah. Sorry, Ricky Melton, we love you. If I'm not mistaken, though, Artie did make that up to Ricky.
Well, yeah, he
I wasn't talking about that one instance.
No, I know, but like Ricky is a friend of the show, so
yeah.
He's the only fucking person that voted for Trump that I can stand.
I mean, but the thing with Louis is I don't think that's necessarily PC culture that's coming after him. That's cancel culture, which is a different thing.
Now, fair.
I've never even heard of that before.
It's, you know, where somebody...
It's the new one.
Yeah. I'm not up on it. I'm just figuring out all the letters. You know what I mean?
Hey, yeah. Why don't you tell him about it? Well, so Kyle can watch me jerk off.
Huh? You're not powerful enough.
I mean, but...
Do you know what fucking show you're on right now?
Yeah, right.
I mean, we're a very powerful show.
Yeah. Well, we've pissed a lot of people off.
Yeah, that we have. No, with the whole Louis thing, I mean, you have to be self-aware enough, though, to know that the reason that they're, you know, agreeing to this, and especially with the reaction that you read a fucking room, if they're not exactly happy about what's going on after they say yes, you have to be like,
well,
right.
Yeah, well, he came out. I went to Skankfest this year, and I've went a couple years, and it's a great experience if you're just a fan of comedy and just like whatever. But he comes into the room, and everybody goes nuts and whatever, and he comes out, and he does his joke. He's like, let me give you a piece of advice that only I can give you. If you ask somebody if you can jack off in front of them and they say yes, don't do it. Mm. And it was just like, okay, you made light of it. He moved on, and he did the jokes. I guess my thing is, whether you agree or disagree with what he did, if there's people who, if he can still work, he should be allowed to work. If the club, because at the end of the day, that's all the club wants. They're booking fucking the guy from Entourage at Hilarity's, right? Or was that Hilarity's?
Jeremy
just,
Piven?
Yeah, he's just, no, it was in Dayton. My buddy went and saw him. I was like, are you fucking serious?
Jeremy
go see
Piven
a real comedy.
Stand-up?
Apparently.
Yeah, and Piven, like, was part of that whole thing, too.
Yeah, didn't it come out that he was a scumbag?
Yes.
That's a bummer, because I really liked that.
Yeah, it's just coke and whores and just whatever, you know. He was wild.
I have no problem with coke and whores. You're paying for those services.
Sure,
like, that's my fucking point, you know? But, like, I know if you're degrading a hooker and not paying her for that specific service.
You're beating up on them, then you're...
Then you're a piece of shit, and you deserve to get your ass kicked, and I hope you do. I think I've said on this podcast plenty of fucking times, like, I think sex work should be regulated by the people doing it, not pimps or the fucking state. Like, if a person wants to go sell their body, that is their fucking right. Nobody should fucking have the right to tell them or have the power to tell them that they cannot do that.
Their body, their choice.
Exactly.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Well, also, like, it's like fucking drug use, dude. You know what? Drug use is a terrible thing. The heroin epidemic, a terrible fucking thing. If I were in the government, you know what I'd look at that as? Population control. I'm not in the government, though. It's a terrible fucking thing.
No, I don't know.
That was a dog whistle.
Yeah, they're making too much money off of it. That's you know what I mean? So, hey,
yeah, where's the fentanyl coming from, guys?
Yeah, right.
Just like the CIA gave fucking San Diego. I know it's coming
from
there.
What did they pick up? They picked up, 2 weeks ago, J.P. Morgan owned a boat with $1.3 billion of cocaine on it in Philadelphia. Barely scratched the news. So, anyways, that's not what we're hating on, though.
But that's impressive.
Yes, that's like the Browns plus $300 million. You know what I mean? It's a lot. That's a lot of cocaine that's bringing in by J.P. Morgan.
That's like almost as much as Vince McMahon's worth. He's worth like 1.1, I think.
Yeah.
That's a fuck ton of cocaine, dude.
Yes.
Jesus.
How much of it do you think got destroyed? And how much of it do you think got redistributed to the black community?
Redistributed? All of it. from what the cops didn't keep that they wanted to do.
Yeah. But how much, you know, that's just a sliver, you know. They dump some for the cameras and stuff.
Sure,
but, you
sure,
know.
Sure, sure.
But as far as, you know, yeah. He can work because people are going to fucking pay to see him.
Yeah.
And he does have that right. I do like if
that's that's all I'm saying.
If people want to pay to see him and a venue will put him on, he has every right to do that.
Yeah. And if you're a comic and you don't want to work with him, great. That's fine with me, too.
Yeah.
It's just like these people are like going nuts and be like, oh, my God, you can't have him or this, that or the other. It's just like, why?
Well, that's my biggest thing is like you can police all the comics you want to. If you like, you know, if you want to be the PC police about shit, go right the fuck ahead. But like a venue should be a just completely partisan, you know, or bipartisan. No, partisan.
No, just neutral. Just so neutral.
Like, yeah, whatever. Just like they should. Venue should be able to book whoever they want to book. If it's going to bring them in money, their reputation should not be affected by it unless it's like fucking Bill Cosby.
Well, at this point, I think Bill Cosby, there's probably people that would go see Bill Cosby, but he's not selling out arenas.
Dude, neither Chelsea told me that she still sells Bill Cosby records and because she works at a record store. And she said that every single time that she sells one, people rationalize it to her without her fucking asking.
They just stare at him, rubbing their genitals like, hey, you can keep the change.
You know, I just like the record with the jokes on it. So the last time I went to work with her was a few weeks ago. And they're, we weren't at work. We were at the Exchange, actually. So we were record shopping. And there was a couple probably in their 60s with a semi-adult what do you call our words now? Special?
Sure.
Special needs?
Handicap. Or not. No, that's wrong. That's fucked up, too.
Yeah, special needs.
Special needs.
No, which I had no problem with. I hope special not. Need kids was like, obviously. The special need kids was like, I want to know. He's like screaming in the store, and you know the Exchanges, they're small. He's like, where are the Bill Cosby records? And his dad's like, fucking shut up.
Well, I mean, that's his market now.
What a special needs kids.
Yeah, Bill Cosby's gonna go to the Special Olympics and kill it. That's his community service.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But no, I get, like I was saying it before, though, like I do agree with you because like I'm not one to drop certain words just because, but I don't fucking police people who do. You know what I mean? Like I don't fucking, if that's your choice, that's your joke. Like that's cool. Or you could be smart like Steve Merz and fucking do a racially sensitive joke and crush it.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like I think that there's a line to an extent. I don't think that you need to come out and just be an edgelord because, you know,
N-word,
to be an
edgelord.
Yeah,
F-word,
yeah.
F-word.
Yeah, yeah. Just for the sake of doing it. Like if you're gonna take that step and be that comic, you better be fucking funny.
Period. Be good.
Yeah. And it's just like it doesn't work and don't be upset when people don't want to work with you or don't book you because what you go and you go in their store.
God,
and
you know who just ran through my mind?
What?
CZ.
Oh. You mean Chad Zuma?
Yeah.
Hey, I'll say this about Chad. Did you guys see his, first of all, I don't have a bad fucking word to say about Chad.
He's always been nice
nothing
to me in person.
But great. I saw him up there in New York and I got on Kill Tony and Dude, he was fucking so happy to see me. Because I talked to him. He knows I'm a Cleveland guy. And, dude, I don't have a bad word to say about him. But I know he's fucking done some, burned some bridges in his day. And, but there's this whole thing going on now, and his Twitter got hacked.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
When you were how hard was I laughing last night when you were telling me that shit?
It's hilarious.
It's pretty funny.
I realized
the fact that when I lost it was when you told me that he was unverified.
Yeah, he got unverified. His bio.
And Chad, I don't have anything against you, man.
I don't think he's listening. Maybe he doesn't.
I think he at one point may have, but I think we've said some shit along the way.
No, I probably went psycho.
But that sucks. I mean, like, and granted, that's not comedy people. That was like a bunch of 17-year-old internet trolls hacking into his shit. But that's how he makes his livelihood. Like, that sucks that his Twitter got down. Is it funny? Absolutely.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's like, oh fuck, this is a result.
Can't work. That doesn't.
But
mean
I mean,
he can't
social
work.
Media is a huge part of everything.
Sure.
And if he doesn't have that vehicle, but I mean, he'll rebound. I'm sure he'll be fine and he'll keep doing what he's doing. But yeah, it's just things get out of hand like that. Now it's like comics are under fire. And Chad went out. In his defense, Chad went out. Basically, they're attacking this young comic who's not very seasoned. And Chad was like, fuck you, come at me, motherfuckers. And they did.
Oh, that whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what happened. Chad kind of was like, I'll stand in front of this.
Well, and I think that guy's funny. The one that he went after.
Oh, that's a different instance.
That's a different thing.
Oh, I'm not talking about that. You guys know what I'm talking about, though? Like when he posted that shit on Facebook about...
You don't have to be more specific.
Yeah. Fuck, I don't want to go into a Chad hole.
Yeah, yeah, no.
A C hole.
But that thing's all relevant because there's another comic. She made a joke about this. We were talking about it on the porch. XXX Tenacious or whatever the hell his name is.
Extension. I think that's how.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not young or from Parma, so sure. I don't know.
But she made this joke about, like, he got robbed with $50,000. It would make a great Venmo commercial.
Yeah.
And then his fans, like, fucking started attacking her and death threatening her. It's like, fucking jokes, man. Yeah. Like, settle down. And it's just like it's snowballed to that at this point. That's what it is now.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's what I fucking hate. Like, let her, she's trying to make people laugh that are fucking construction workers and working at office all day. Like, that's all she's doing is she's spending her life trying to make them people have an hour of fucking decent time in their lives. And it's just like, can we quit going after
you
these
told
people?
Me they doxed her, right?
Oh yeah, they put everything out, man. It's
That's the thing, dude. Like, that's the problem with not just like, because that's not even PC culture. That's fucking dumb fans of somebody being like, you can't say that about our guy. Like, fuck you.
But it all happened because a comic, I think his name is James Davis. He came out and he fucking was like, fuck her. And he's another comic who's bigger than her, came out and was like, fuck her, and buried her and basically got the mob up. You know what I mean? If he ever does
And that's the thing is, like, as comics, you know, and like I said, I haven't been on stage in a long time, so I try not to call myself a comic.
No, neither do I. And so don't worry. Like,
no, I mean, but it's like as joke tellers, as storytellers, whatever you want, as artists. If we share similar views and we share similar hobbies or trying to make this a career, whatever we're doing, shouldn't we kind of back each other?
Sure.
When that shit happens? You know what I mean? Shouldn't there be a sense of community? Because, like, that's the reason this has nothing to do with PC culture, but, like, that's half the reason I stopped doing comedy in this fucking city. Because I fucking hate the click shit, man. Fuck that.
Well, that's
everybody
not,
should work to fucking together.
That's not Cleveland. That's everywhere.
No,
like,
I get that.
And I'm going to say this. Like, I'm not a working comic. I do comedy, but I have a day job. It's not impacting my income. Mm-hmm. But when it is somebody that's doing it and pursuing it full time, like, they're going to everything. They're in New York. They're doing it. Like, that's fucked up, dude. It's one thing if I said something like that. They would come after me like, whatever, I'm not losing my job, but it's just, they're on a different level than us. So I can't completely relate, but I feel for this woman. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
She's a monster. Dina Hashan, I'm a big roast battle guy. I'm doing the ad hom now. Look her up and just type in her name and Roast Masters, dude, she's a fucking really great roast comic.
Good.
Yeah, so, I mean, check her out. Like, she's funny as fuck. I knew who she was before this happened, but it's probably going to... I heard some people talking about it today.
So she's Jeff Ross approved, then, if she's been on Comedy Central.
Well, she hasn't been on... She was on Comedy Central for another show, but she did the roast battle just like their YouTube New York sets.
Okay, gotcha.
There's the Jeff Ross roast battle thing, and then there's, like, the good one.
Okay. I like Jeff Ross. I've always liked Jeff Ross. I think he's very funny.
It's just there's more of a variety when it's like
fair enough. Like I haven't seen it, so I wouldn't, you know, I can't speak to it.
Sure.
I'm just stating my opinion.
But yeah, it's probably going to work out for though. She's you know.
Guess what?
She's in the news now.
I will give you an example in my specific life, and I hope fucking Sean Astin is listening. I went and got my best friend, Jesse, who at this point our new logo will have been up so I can talk about our new logo, did our new logo with the characters of us and the pentagram. He drew a picture of Sabu for me, and I went and got it tattooed by Sean Jaundice. And fucking, I sent it to Sabu. For 16, Sabu was like, I fucking hate it. And he's like, it's the worst picture I've ever seen of myself. Now, this is my thing. How can you expect how can you expect somebody with like a third grade reading level, and that's a shoot, to like understand when I say it's not a portrait of you, it's a rendition? I'm not trying to be a dick. He doesn't get that. He doesn't understand what rendition is, or maybe even portrait. I'm not sure. But like, dude, he ripped me. And, like, it got over, like, 200 retweets. It fucking destroyed my Saturday because my Twitter was blowing the fuck up for 16 hours straight. About 2 hours after that 16 hours, Sean Ast, basically our boss, texts me and he goes, so how many followers did you get after that Sabu thing? And I was like, at that point, I think it was 12. And then we were talking and it, like, bumped up to 15. He goes, I know you probably feel like shit right now. He's like, but press is press, man.
Yeah, build the brand.
Yep.
Build the brand.
He's got great tits on that.
Yeah, I mean, was the whole joke.
Yeah, sure, I'm sure.
Fucking Sean, who did it. Well, so Jesse drew it, and I have nothing bad to say against Sean Jaundice. He just rounded it out where it's supposed to be angular, so he just has to go back and angle it out so it doesn't look like he has one floppy titty. But, like, I get it. I get that, but like, I also posted the original artwork of it,
and he had floppy titties in that.
No. I can show you that picture.
Yeah, sure.
It's like, but it was like, dude, I took a beating for 16 hours straight. And it was like the first time that I've ever had serious Twitter heat, and I was just like, dude, I had somebody mess me like, hey, I found somebody posted your tweet on Reddit, and I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I've had that happen once.
So I was just like, and like, dude, I fall under the Jim Ross. Also, I'd like to say Kyle is also a wrestling fan, so he knows what the
yes,
fuck
yes,
I'm about.
Yes, getting all the references. All
right, so I go by the Jim Ross social media rule. Do not engage the negativity. Because you win if you don't engage it. Even if it makes you feel like shit, you don't have to engage them, and you will feel better at the end of the day. However, there was one guy, I can't remember exactly what he said, but his picture was his kid. Like, his Twitter profile picture was his kid. And I had the tweet ready to send. I was going to be like, artist subjective, your ugly kid isn't. But I was just like, Jim Ross wouldn't want me to do that. Jim Ross wouldn't want me to do that, so I deleted it.
Are you sure it wasn't like a 6-year-old on Twitter burning you?
Positive. It was like proud father, blah, 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 bullshit. And he was from Hawaii. I'm like, don't you have something better to do? Yeah, like, go break a coconut, you dumb fuck.
That's racist.
No, it's not. The guy was white. Fuck you. White people live in Hawaii, too. Did you hear what happened to Jeff Cobb at PWG?
No.
As he came out, somebody yelled something at him in Spanish. He just looked at me and goes, I'm from fucking Hawaii, man.
That'll happen. But yeah, so Chad stepped in front of that bullet and got hit. You can now find him at Chad the Clown.
Yeah, that's what they changed. It was cheesy what they did. They just put like a bunch of clowns, like, yo, dog, this dude's a clown, bro. And then they thought it was, and like emojis and shit.
Juggalos?
No, they're all the
Xanax kids.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Basically,
Benzo boys.
Yeah.
XXX extension or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't care. That's my interpretation of what it is.
He's a SoundCloud rapper that got big. And,
he died.
It happens. People die.
Dude,
but
fucking, what's his name? Nipsey Hussle fucking got murdered. Let's not talk about somebody XXX extension. I don't give a fuck. Good for the dope boy. He's dead. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You get into that game, that is a risk you fucking take.
Yeah, I mean, whether or not his death, sad people, it was a joke. It was a joke, and it wasn't even about his death. It was about a Venmo and money. I mean, so I don't know. It's just, that's where we're at, though. Jeremy asked me to do the show, what, 2-3 weeks ago? And he's like, what do you want to talk about? And this is before all this happened. Like, we didn't just pick this topic today.
Mm-hmm.
I went and I saw Michelle Wolf at Hilarity's. Thanks to Riley Nisbala, put me up front row. He had an extra ticket or whatever.
Nice.
And she came out, and her first thing, she came out and she said, this is what I texted you right after the show and told you what I want to talk about. She said, I've learned over the past few years that not everybody likes me, and that's okay, because I don't want everybody to like me. I just want to be funny. And then she did a rape joke. And I was like, holy shit, because this crowd is all liberal white women, and they're fucking cackling at this joke. But I'm just like, if this was anybody else outside of Michelle Wolf, they would be, oh my God, this is disgusting. But it was that well of a written joke, and that's where the times are, is like, she can do no harm now. And I'm not taking away from the joke, but it's just like, if that was, I don't know, Bill Burr that said that joke, the same joke, same way, people would have been in a upfit because just the topic of it, unless it's really well written. You know, if it's her fans watching it,
the difference is that, well, Bill Burr is like one of the two best living comedians, and Bill Burr can get away with that.
Well, I use that as an example, but I'm talking about that subject matter in front of, and there's comedy fans there to watch her, obviously, because she is a great comic, but the, a lot of the crowd, she picked up a lot of following from liberals from after the correspondent dinner. It's just naturally. So she did this joke. Everybody's howling. And I'm just thinking, like, if anybody else would have said this, you know, it would have been all hell breaks loose. But I mean, kudos to her for writing a great joke. And her set was super dark and it was funny and everything. And it's just like, I don't know. And she did. She went out there and she fucking was funny and she didn't care what anybody thought. And she had everybody in stitches. And that's what it should be.
Yes.
I didn't see anybody angry that she made rape jokes afterwards. You know what I mean? But she was just funny. And that's what you have to be. And I talk about, like, I'm mad about the culture. But on the flip side, like, I don't have a problem if you want to do a kumbaya room and whatever. Like, I'm not coming to that. I'm not going to buy that ticket, but go right ahead.
Yeah, there are safe space rooms in this. There's one safe space room in the Northeast Ohio area, and Hive Mind. It's like an artist collective.
They haven't even told me about that yet.
And that is why you don't go there, because...
Well, I just didn't know.
No, not you. In general, if something is called Hive Mind, I want nothing to fucking do with it.
I mean, some of those people are all right, but it's...
I'm sure there's some funny people there. I'm not taking away from them. They can do their thing.
Yeah, it's like...
Hail Hydra. Fuck off.
It is, you know, you can create the space... If you want certain things not talked about, the problem that I have is that this is something that happened about 6-7 years ago. But do you know who Vince Morris is?
No.
Zach's older brother.
The ugly one.
The one that didn't make TV.
he's a nationally touring headliner. He used to...
what was the name again?
Vince Morris.
Okay.
He did the Funny Bone down in Columbus, and he said something that was perceived to be a little bit transphobic, to the point where somebody in the audience got up and started screaming at him and interrupted the show, and they ended up firing him from the rest of his week because of that incident, which is bullshit. because, you know, it's that's not the time and the place to have your outburst, and you cost the motherfucker work. You know, it's that's not the room. That's the safe space.
Let me put it. All right. Anybody who listens to this show who either may be offended by what we're talking about or is on the other side of the fence of what we're talking about.
I don't give a fuck if you're offended by what we're talking about.
No, that's not. I'm trying to make a fucking point, though, is that if you are on the other side of the fence of us, if you have a problem with somebody that said something on stage that you did not like, fucking address it after they get off stage so that they can have a conversation with you instead of yelling back and forth and then you get roasted and look like a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Or just get roasted and look like a fucking asshole.
Yeah, that would be, that's the ideal situation. But, you know, I think people have, I think part of the thing that's toxic about PC culture is that, you know, the audience somehow feels empowered to be more than just, you know, a passive audience. They have to be a part of the show and everything has to speak to them. And that's not how this works. You know, there's a reason that entertainment is becoming more balkanized, you know.
Yeah, and it sucks.
It does suck because it's like, you know, in order to get on the bigger stages, you have to hit everybody in terms of like everybody has to relate to what you're doing.
Yeah, you have to be marketable.
Well, it's not just marketable.
No, you to fill up a place, you have to be marketable.
There is that, but, you know, there are guys that aren't marketable and still headline because that's the way this business works.
Because they're good comics. I mean, yeah.
They're good comics. They don't have to be marketable because they've paid their dues. And
yeah, David Tell's ugly as shit. You know what I mean?
He was really nice to me when I met him in New York.
I'm sure.
He was super cool, man. Like, I'm sure he met, you know, he's met a million amateur fucking comics, you know. And he was just like, hey, man, just keep doing it. Because me and my cousin Devin, we just took a day trip to New York. And we ended up going to, what's Comedy Store? Is that what the one? Is that the
Cellar.
One? Comedy Cellar, the one that CK used to film in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We went up there, and it was an open mic night, and Dave Attell dropped in and did, like, 40 minutes of just, like, riffing shit, which was awesome. And we got invited to the bar upstairs that all the fucking comics hang out in and got to walk up to him, and, like, he was super fucking humble and nice. And then bummed a cigarette off me when I was outside, and I was like, I will happily give you a cigarette, sir. I love Dave Attell.
Yeah. But, yeah, he's not Daniel Tosh. He's not a good-looking young guy. You know what I mean? But he sells out places. Because he's a great comic.
No, but, I mean, yeah.
I guess I know.
Exactly.
I think what you're trying to say is they got a draw.
Yeah.
He's marketable because he's that good.
Yeah. But there are people that draw that don't, like, appeal to everybody. You know,
that's Anthony Jeselnik. You're right. You are right. I was wrong.
Yeah. That's a separate thing. What I'm talking about is getting the opportunity to get on those bigger stages. In order to do that, when you're not a draw, you have to be able, your stuff has to be general enough to where no matter what your, you know, color or creed, you have to appeal to them. And, you know, a lot of the comedy club audiences, it's the papered room. So it's just they get people to come in to see comedy. And if, you know, a button gets pressed, shit happens.
Yeah, well, sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
We run into that at 78th Street Studios when we do those third Fridays. Like, people are walking around looking at art and they go, oh, free comedy show. So, like, when we do those shows, like, we have to keep in mind, okay, if we got somebody that's going to be raunchier, we put them towards the end of the lineup, not because they're the best comic. It's because, like, you know, a lot of people will leave by that point. They can do their set, and the people that are still there to watch comedy will see it. So, I mean, it's just like, that's almost like a club feel. We finally had, like, our first, like, rowdy, like, Friday night drunk crowd for the first time there. So it was kind of, it felt like a club. Everybody stayed. That,
because I'd be getting drunk, too.
But, yeah, it's just, it's weird like that. But you almost have to, because if not, then they're going to the building owner going, what the hell are you putting in here? And it's just like, but when we run like ad hom, you know, people are coming for ad hom. So,
yeah.
And that's where we can do the darker stuff, and that's just. But we have to be cognizant of it because we're running a brand, and it's the same kind of thing, though.
Well, does Paul still put up my fucking banner?
It hasn't been up, but I don't have it.
Oh, I'm gonna rock that motherfucker. Well, Paul, I'm coming for you.
At any rate, no, but that's the thing. Like, you could market yourself as dark, dirty, or offensive, and if you can draw, fantastic. But if you want to get on like a stage that basically where people are there to see comedy, like, you can't be. And you know, the limits as to what's acceptable in, like, let's call it a mainstream audience has changed.
Absolutely.
Over time.
Like, to me, a mainstream audience is something that Mike Birbiglia draws. That's a mainstream audience. That's a very, like, broad audience, because he doesn't talk about specific hot points. You know what I mean? He does very, like, observational life comedy about his own life. I think, like, and that's the kind of comic I'm talking about, is, like, somebody like that. Like, he's marketable. He's very marketable because, like,
Mike Birbiglia draws because he was on Bob and Tom and NPR, and he had a movie. It has nothing to do with his comedy.
He was bigger before that movie came out.
Yeah, well, he had Secret Public Journal on Bob and Tom and went around with that. And
I knew about him way before then.
And he was on NPR.
I mean, I didn't even know he did that shit, so I guess I'm a hipster.
Yeah, it's you find out about him, and then that's why he draws. It's not because of, like, the nature of his material. He's just a good comic that got the right exposure.
He's a very good comic.
And he draws. Like, it's the people that I'm talking about.
I was going to say, I think we're talking about two different things.
Yeah.
I think we're definitely talking about two different things.
It's, you know, the people that are upset about PC culture, not necessarily in the respect of, like, what's going on with Dinah and everything like that. That's a different thing. But the people that are like, I can't talk about this topic anymore, it's because you can't. Like, you can't do it on a mainstream stage because, you know, people get offended by fucking everything. But it used to be, like, back in the vaudeville days, you know, people would do blackface, people would put on fake noses to act like Jews. And that was just...
In the 80s, Roddy Piper painted himself half black to fight Mr. T.
Oh, yeah, what was that?
That was Bad News Brown, actually.
Oh, I thought it was Mr. T.
No, it was Bad News Brown.
Oh.
It was WrestleMania 5.
Ah, okay.
Right just on. To go back to the point where you're talking about, like, times have changed. Like, Eddie Murphy's getting, what, $30 million from Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
Go back and watch it. People are like, oh, yeah, go back and watch Eddie Murphy. He would be crucified.
Oh, if, dude, him, Pryor?
Yes, like everybody from the 80s.
Fucking Red Fox? Like, dude, all these... I mean, shit, half the shit Carlin would say would piss people the fuck off.
Well,
I mean, it did back then, but now? Like, if
I
he
don't
were
know
still,
about that.
Dude, if he were still alive, man, I think he would be attacking exactly what we're talking... Like, the topic you brought to the table, that would be his focus of his specials.
He's yeah, not probably policing cover a fucking bunch. People. But look at even Dave Chappelle. When Dave Chappelle came back after that hiatus, people were like, I hated his specials.
I loved them. I thought they were great.
I thought they were good. I didn't think they were as good as his first stuff. Like, I thought they were funny, but people were like, oh, he's transphobic and homophobic now. And, like, they're slaughtering him for it, but you know what? He didn't change what he was.
What does Eric Bischoff say? Context is king. People take certain words
sure.
out of his mouth.
All right.
Well, in front or back of it. You got to look in front.
Right.
Hold on. Yeah. Hold on. What Dave Chappelle did that was transphobic is said, let's go out and trick people in sex, which is an old, like, very harmful trans stereotype. And basically that's what people were pissed off about, which is, like, it's a harmful thing that he was perpetuating. And then he addressed it in his next special.
Exactly.
You know, he actually, like, okay.
So don't write people off immediately. How about that?
The conversation continued. But let's say somebody, like, stood up in the middle of a set and fucking got pissed about it. Like, that's not the way to handle it. But, yeah, people.
Especially not Dave Chappelle.
People raked him over the coals. How many people are talking about that now?
None. It goes away in, like, a week. 2 weeks.
That's I mean, when I bring up Dave Chappelle every once in a while to somebody, they'll be like, well, he said that shit. And I'm like, dude, fucking just watch all of it. Pay attention to what he's... The dude is literally, in my opinion, the like I said, Bill Burr before. I don't know if that was on this episode or last one, but like, in my opinion, Burr and Chappelle are the greatest living comedians. In my opinion, I think they are fucking fantastic. I don't know who's better. And people, just because Dave Chappelle said something they did not like and took it out of fucking context, now they fucking hate Dave Chappelle. And it's people that I know love Dave Chappelle for years. So fuck off. I just can't get behind, man. I really just can't get behind. It's like the policing. Like the policing of shit.
And
man,
if you don't like what he's talking about or whatever, don't watch it. Turn it off. But don't take food out of his kid's mouth. I mean, granted, he's got money, but...
He's got Dave Chappelle money.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? Jeremy was alluding to it earlier. Like, and people have their opinions about Pete down at the Funny Stop, but he tells everybody, work clean, because that's how you're going to get a hosting job and move your way up. Like, you got to work somewhat clean. But once you learn how to actually write a joke, then be yourself. But first, learn how to... do comedy. There's a lot of people that go out, and I've started doing more over the past year and a half, and I'll go to open mics, and I'm like, man, you can't talk about that yet. You don't even know how to write a joke yet. Like, yeah. You're never going to get a laugh doing that. Don't be an edgelord.
It's just your opinion, and not everybody thinks it's fucking funny.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Well, it's, I think the people that are pissed off about PC culture more than anything, is that they come into this world, and they have this idea of what they can do, and it turns out that they're wrong, and the way to rationalize that is, well, it's PC culture, and audiences are too sensitive, and, you know, what it boils down to is they're not funny.
Yeah.
And, that's key. As long as you're funny, you can get away with fucking anything.
Well, you can.
No.
Where's the line? What I'm trying to think. Is there anything that Dave Attell or Bill, is there anything that Bill Burr can talk about that you'd be like, fuck Bill Burr, I'm not listening to him ever again?
He ain't going
to
say the N-word.
Huh?
He ain't going to say the N-word.
What about Artie Lang?
Artie Lang's a fucking heroin addict.
Who cares?
He's
funny.
Yeah.
He is funny. I'm not saying he's not
funny.
He does
a bit where he uses it, and it's funny, but it's not to the point where he's going, I hate this. It's not a hate thing. He's playing pickup basketball, and it slipped because everybody else around him is using it. And that's the premise of the joke. And it's funny. It's not hateful. And you know what? The people that are mad about it are fucking stay-at-home moms that have nothing better to do, that have never really had anything. You know
now
what I mean?
Pissed off a whole other group of people.
What? Do you have a bunch of big...
That's our biggest market is stay at home moms.
Like, after the Price is Right, they get up to do the dishes and listen to the Hay Flow.
What, honey, I want to listen to the Fat Woke Boys. I'm not fucking you tonight.
No, but I mean, there are people that are going to get like riled up over shit. But it's like if your heroes are ruined because of a few choice words, then they weren't really your heroes to begin with.
In the words of Garth Algar, get over it. Go out with somebody else.
Yeah, that's just kind of where I'm at. And I guess I don't hate it, but just stay in your lane. Like, quit trying to take food out of people's mouths.
If you're not, and like I said before, I think comics should back comics up.
Yeah.
I do. If you're not the one on stage telling the joke, know your fucking role. Your role is to be there, not to be an active participant.
Right.
I mean, the argument that people will use is like it's an attack on my minority. I'll say minority that is just perpetuating a dangerous stereotype that makes me feel like I'm not safe. And
I just rolled my eyes.
Yeah, well, you roll your eyes, but...
Not at you. Just the idea of that is just like, dude, not everybody's out to fucking get you, dude. Most people are concerned with what's going on in their fucking life.
But, you're... As much as I tell you you're not, you're a fucking white guy. And
I know that. I mean, we joke about it, but...
Yeah, and I'm a Jew. And I can tell you with 100% certainty that people that are making Jew jokes at me are not doing it to have fun.
What I do?
Like, strangers.
Okay. I was going to say, I mean, I constantly do that to you, and it doesn't bother you.
It doesn't bother me because I know you.
Yeah, yeah. In the realm of things, there's people out there that are fucked up. I guess you're saying, like, there's shit out there, yeah, but... I mean, you're saying like that it's almost fuel for the fire. I'm just trying to understand what you're trying to get at.
It basically,
I cut him off. That was my bad. Sorry.
Yeah, it's basically the problem that I think people have is they don't put it in the proper context. Whereas like it's a comedy show, and that's not the end game. The end game is to make you laugh. But you know they see it the same as
The end game was to make everybody come back that Thanos snapped out of. Oh, we're talking. Sorry. That was for me and nobody else.
Are you done?
Yeah, don't let dead air go.
No, I'm. You deserve all that dead air for that. I don't know if you.
I just saw it. Fuck off.
Of course you did. At any rate, they don't like differentiate between, you know, the guy that's on stage telling jokes. And the guy that's at the bar, like, yelling jokes at you because they're trying to either get you to leave or, like, poke you into a fight or, you know, basically letting you know that you're not welcome. And that's not what it is. At least that's not what it's supposed to be.
No, it's not. I mean, I'm sure there are comics out there, like... Who like will go up there and say shit and they really mean it, you know? I guess not mean it, but no, you know what I mean. Like
some of them do.
There's racist fucking cunts in every fucking aspect of
Listen
life.
Listen to last week's episode when we talk about a dead comedian who I fucking hate, and I'm happy he's fucking dead.
At any rate,
I think there's a big thing too where people almost with social media and stuff like. You'll see people like, oh, my cousin's third aunt on his dad's side died, and I'm so sad. Send me your love. And then they get all these, 100 likes or whatever. And, like, I think people almost want to go out and bitch so people get involved with them.
I have a name for those. Dude, I think you're going to like it.
What is it?
The people who – all right, so the people who when somebody in their realm dies – and they cling on to it. I have blood relatives that do this. I call them grief hawks.
Grief hawks is a good term.
It's exactly what they are. Because I'll give you an example. Somebody I know said to somebody who lost their husband less than a year ago, said to them, I know my husband's next to go. How fucking dare you? Like, had I been there, I would have slapped the bitch. I would have fucking slapped her. Like, you don't fucking say that to somebody.
What if they're on stage?
When somebody says, I can't specifically say, because there's people who listen to this, that it will, I can't say because it's family. But the person I'm talking about is blood related to me. I would slap her across the fucking face for saying that to the person she said it to.
Fair.
Period. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with PC. That has something to do with being a human fucking being.
Yeah, that's just people like likes. I mean, that's what it is. Or just
grief hawks.
Yeah, grief hawks are like just, I'm offended by this. And it's just like, you have no...
Do you even know what this is?
You relate to that as much as me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know, just people like, getting interacted with on the internet. Yeah. It's just
it's validation.
Sure.
It's validation is what it is. Well, in some form it's self-validation. It's not validation, it's self-validation.
All right, let's get into something else real quick because I think it relates to the topic. So, people have said that the only way to combat what they view as it's not offense, it's like blatant racism and things like that, or blatant misogyny, is to deplatform them. Basically, yeah, take away their money. Where do you draw the line between, somebody that you know, needs to be deplatformed because their ideas are dangerous. And, you know, basically, where's the danger? The best example I can give is Milo Yiannopoulos.
Sure, I kind of knew.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yeah, I'm obviously, I talked about Skankfest twice, so you know I know about that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. I don't think deplatforming somebody completely, like, you just don't have to listen. If you don't like them, don't listen. But it just, and, you know, they didn't, the guy ended up being very charming on the show when they brought him on. But if he would have went on there and was a dick, they probably would have slaughtered him. I don't think their intention was like, yeah, we're bringing this guy here. They're bringing him on almost like somebody would bring on R. Kelly to interview him. You know what I mean? And let him hang themselves. So I'm not big into like deplatforming anybody because they're going to find their ways. I mean, you can
exactly.
You know what I mean? But I'll say this: if you're running a business like YouTube and you're saying we're going to pull all of Milo's shit off, that's your right. Do it, and that's fine.
You have all right, and that's what I was going to say is, and you know, this has been going around for like the last year, since year 2 years since Trump was elected. You know, whatever. You do have the right to freedom of speech. You do not have the right to freedom of consequence, though.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
And if something you, like you said, if it's going to cross a hurtful line, you will suffer the consequences. And if that's taking away your platform, or if it's somebody acting out violently towards you, which I don't condone, but if it is something like that, you put yourself in that position. So you better be prepared to defend yourself in whatever way you need to.
I always tell people, like, don't say anything you're not willing to fist fight over.
Sure, sure.
That's a good rule. That's a good rule.
Well, I've gotten enough fist fights after shows.
After when we were at the mic last night, or not the mic, but when we went to the Eurogyro after the mic, I was outside smoking, and I was like, this is where Jeremy got punched in the face by that girl.
I called her a cunt. She got mad. I refused to back down. She punched me. Her girlfriend kicked me. Husband kicked me. At any rate.
What a great story now.
Yeah. Oh, we've told that on the show many a times. It's funny as fuck. But yeah, I was drunk as shit, and I'm outside smoking, and I'm like, this is where Jeremy got in that fight. Especially because it's like that slope, too. I was just like, Jeremy never told me the part where he got punched and he rolled down the fucking hill.
I didn't roll down the hill.
I know you didn't.
But
damn it. I was just picturing that, just tubby, like grass stuck to his pasty white stomach, just
looking like a fucked up Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
I have made my own half shell turtle power.
Oh shit, man. Okay. Oh.
Yeah, but no. As far as I think the reason that Milo got he was fucking doxing people.
Yeah, yeah. Milo.
Are we talking about the dude that was like that Greek motherfucker who was like all right wingy fucking alt right shit?
I mean, it's alt right is one thing, but he was fucking doxing people. And he was, you know, inciting people to violence.
And didn't he like condone pedophilia in some way or another?
He just said that it's nice to have an older man teach you the ropes when you're.
Why are we talking about this guy?
Because it's they had him at Skankfest.
Well, he wasn't at Skankfest. He did their podcast like a month before, and then the venue was like people sprayed painted the venue that they do the podcast at, so they moved it away from that location. But people were like, oh, fuck this business, and, you know, vandalizing the business, so they pulled it out. But they still did the interview because they're like, hey, we're bringing this guy on to see what he is, you know what I mean? And
I get that. I mean there's been,
yeah, he was molested. Yeah, or he was hooking up with an older dude, so he was talking about in his experience, because they asked him about that on there. But
he's still, I mean, from what every news story I ever saw that dude from, what, 2 years ago when he was relevant?
Because he got deplatformed. That's why he's no longer relevant.
Good. Because I didn't agree with anything the guy fucking said.
But, I mean, is that enough for somebody to be deplatformed?
If you're a hateful fucking cunt, yes.
Well, they call him a Nazi, but he's a homosexual who's married to a black man. So, I mean, like, it's kind of weird. Like, and you almost wonder, like, what's exactly like he said, and like how much has that gotten twisted? I mean, I don't know. I haven't done enough research on the guy. I didn't really know much about him. So,
well, fuck him.
That's my ignorance. So I'm not going to sit here and. But is it their right to put him on the show? Sure. Like, Tim Dillon had Gavin McGinnis on, who's been called a, you know, whatever, too.
Yeah, well, he kind of is.
Yeah, see, I'm ignorant because I don't pay attention to that stuff. I mean, it's just
basically
I don't like it, so I don't pay attention to it. I move on. But
yeah, and I think the main problem people have when you give people like this a platform is
like this.
you're finding them new viewers, new converts, or whatever. I think that's the main also. You know, also it's fucking dangerous when people are going around and, you know, advocating for violence. But that's not what comedy is.
Yeah.
Request an application, thehateflow@gmail.com.
Well, I mean, if you want us to fucking have you on so you can talk your fucking nonsense about white nationalism or something like that.
Please, by all means, do. No. But do you know who you're fucking going up against? Two people who might kill you by the end of the show.
Well, that's.
Do you think they'd let us share a cell?
No.
Fuck.
I mean, when Sean and I went to jail, we didn't even share a cell. Like, we were sleeping. I was in one cell, and then he was in the cell next door. So. I don't think that's a thing.
Did you guys exchange
blankets? Yeah, they reach around and.
Well, when we were in the pod, I think I was on top bunk and he was on bottom bunk. So, and apparently I kept everybody up at night because I'm a fat motherfucker that snores. So they were gonna beat the shit out of me with an orange and a sock.
It's only going to make it worse.
Well, I mean, after a while, the orange is just going to get soft. But, like, at least it wasn't a bar of soap.
Yeah. But I think, you know, the main problem that, there's so much in my brain about this shit. Because I'm a dirty comic.
So yeah.
I've been doing it for a long time. But, you know, we've talked about it. If you're going to appeal to a larger mainstream audience, like, there's some shit you can't talk about until you're skilled. But there's also, if you're booking a show and you're like, okay, I'm going to have this guy on. And then, like, he gets your show canceled because he was, like, too offensive or too dark. I mean, that's also fucking with your money. Like, should that guy be able to do stuff, like, if he's fucking with people's money?
Well, that's on the venue. It's as far as, like, exactly. You know what, if that's why you put down references for a job. If you're a shitty employee, people aren't going to hire you. So if I'm going around walking rooms around the country and then I'm going to, like, hey, can I get on at Zany's? And I've worked at the Funny Bone, and then they hit up somebody at the Funny Bone and they're like, no, fuck this guy. Here's what happened. You know, that's on you. And then as a comic, then you're not eating because you're not good. Yeah. You want people to sit in their seats, buy food, and buy drinks. That's your objective.
Buy tickets.
Well, and buy tickets. But you don't want people to get up and leave. That you want people to come back and be like, holy shit, everybody they're bringing in is great. I'll go check out somebody I don't know. You know what I mean? So I think, I mean, it'll work itself out in the
end. Sure.
But you don't need other comics attacking you for something you said at a, you know.
And you know what? A lot of the comics who are panderers, they're just like everything else that they get into. It'll fizzle out in a few years. Everybody who thinks they're a fucking comic right now that's not.
Oh, yes.
It'll fizzle the fuck out like it does every time.
I've made tens of dollars doing it over the years. But I've stuck around. I've seen a lot of people come and go, and there's not a lot of people left. I don't know anybody anymore, and that's what.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't walk into an open mic and probably know more than one person.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. I'm glad people quit.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing that there's a churn.
Yes, yes.
And
there's some people that should have quit that haven't yet, but whatever.
Yeah, and
me included. I mean, I don't, at this point in my life, I don't consider myself like this great comic or anything, or I'm never going to go on the road. But what I'm doing now is I'm trying to book shows and do other things and work and build a resume and do shit.
Way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm never going to go on the road. I realized that a while ago, but I still like it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think the end of the day, like, you're doing a thing that's going to make money, and regardless of where it is.
Sure.
Know, it's, you know, you're making money, so maybe show a little bit of fucking respect. That's all I'll say about it. But Kyle, where can we find you on the internet?
Facebook is where you'll catch a lot of me promoting shows. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at HaHaHauny, H-A-U-N-Y. You can follow me on there. I don't know how fucking Instagram works yet. I'm very poor at it. I try to do the stories and it just comes up pictures and yeah,
I don't know the story.
You can follow me though. I'll get the hang of it eventually. But ClevelandComedyFestival.com. I'm producing a lot of shows for them. I'm working on a new project right now that's gonna be announced hopefully by the end of the year that I get it up and running. And I'm something I'm really excited about.
Sweet.
Yeah. So.
Right on, man.
Yeah. So, by the way, everything I've said tonight is bullshit. I love you all. So, Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates PC culture as much as Kyle Hahnhorst.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep saying no.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.